Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham Fleck and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another, which is a little more relevant than usual, edition of Wheeler Dealer Radio. This is our second one in as many days, guys, because Tottenham Hotspur have fired Mauricio Pochettino. We talked a lot about this last night. I thought it was a conversation that might rear its ugly head in a week or three, but boy, we got there in a hurry. I am joined, as I was last night, by Ben Daniels and Brian Ashlock, and I mean, I guess let's just jump right in.
Yeah.
How you feel about this?
I feel like our podcast didn't age too well.
I don't know. I feel like we were pretty early on the is Pochettino's job on the line conversation.
Yeah. I mean, the Max Allegri chat was really useful.
It might still be. As of right now, let's just put this conversation in context. We are recording this on Tuesday night at 9:14 in America. So as of right now, it is heavily rumored that Jose Mourinho is getting the job at Spurs, but it is not finalized. Ornstein and The Athletic, the latest we've read, is that Mourinho is the heavy favorite, but nothing's been decided yet. And I know he leaves the door slightly ajar for Spurs might get someone else. But right now, it sure looks like we're getting Mourinho. So we're going to operate under that assumption. Unless he is hired while we podcast, we will do our best to sort of keep our eye on that for you. But just that's the context in which is being recording. So when we hire Max Allegri tomorrow, we will do a third podcast this week, I presume.
And to be clear, that while Ornstein hedged a little bit about how definitive this hire is, Fabrizio Romano, who has been kind of on this beat all day, has been definitive and said Jose Mourinho is coming back confirmed.
Mourinho associates with so many scammers. Yeah, well, but that's the point. Is like Mourinho associates with so many scammers. It's like it's just hard to know what to believe. But there's been enough smoke around this particular fire that I think Mourinho not getting the job would be wildly.
Look, if Mourinho doesn't get the job, we'll just do another podcast tomorrow.
Exactly. So let's talk about I don't know, Ben. How do you feel about this? Mauricio Pochettino got fired. It looks like Jose Mourinho is going to be the next manager of Tottenham Hotspur. Where do you want to start with it? Where do you want to start with this?
I want to take these into two pieces, and let's just sort of pull one out for Pochettino first and talk about the inevitability or the necessity or the travesty that his sacking was. And then we can move on to what this glorious Mourinho future may hold. So as far as Pochettino goes, I'm fucking sad, man.
It might have needed to have happened, but that doesn't make it any less sad.
I can't think of another man I've loved as much as this one.
You spent a lot of time talking about how Mauricio Pochettino sucks over the last 4 years, 5 years.
I mean, there are things I wanted him to do better. Like, I think he is not the best manager in the history of football. So I feel like airing those grievances are appropriate when you have a podcast about a soccer team. You know, I've always been very, very candid that I don't know that there's anyone that we could hire that's better than him. So these are just frustrations and not an actual call to replace him. There were a lot of things about him that I didn't like. You know, he was a bit of a tyrant about our transfer policy that I think hurt our recruitment. I thought he was often dogmatic about his tactical setups. I thought he was slow to make substitutions. I don't think he treated the academy as well as he should have after his first glorious year. But all that said, he is easily the best manager I've ever seen at this club and, you know, arguably the best manager we've ever had. So losing him is absolutely devastating.
I think there is certainly no way anyone can argue he is the best manager this club has had since at least Keith Birkinshaw. Maybe as far back as Bilnick, if you want to go that far. You have to go back a ways to find a manager who has been as impactful at Tottenham as Pochettino is, even without the silverware. He has, I think, has created probably the best, in terms of on-field talent, the best Tottenham team anyone's ever seen, with all due respect to the double-winning team. He accomplished great things at Spurs, and he's gone, and that sucks. Whatever else we are going to say about him tonight, he was an amazing manager, who I think this shouldn't be understated, because I think as Americans who don't go to matches all the time, this can be something that's a little lost on us, but he created a real connection with the fans, and I think that's something we even felt from a distance, where we weren't part of the match day atmosphere. There was a real warmth there between him and the fans, and, you know, I'm sure some of that is us reading things into him that weren't actually there, but I think there was a connection there in a way that there wasn't, at least that I saw with Harry Redknapp, that, I don't know, I think we tried to make it happen with AVB, but I don't think that was there either. Certainly wasn't there with Sherwood. I think there was a genuine connection there, and that's been lost, and that's really sad. It's sad that it had to end like this. I don't know, I'm going to miss him. I might not miss the football we were playing this year. I would have rather him figure this out in terms of my ideal endings for this, but I'm not sure that was going to happen.
Well, but I think you used the right word in talking about this is inevitable. Like that is kind of the way that this felt, and we spent a lot of time talking about it last night on this very podcast, where, you know, the form for Tottenham Hotspur for the last, you know, for the calendar year of 2019 has not been great. The form for this specific season has also not been great. And Pochettino has done little to nothing to arrest, you know, the slide, has done little or nothing to, you know, to fix the issues that are within the squad, or to adjust his managerial style, his coaching style, his playing style, whatever the issues may be. He seems to have remained dogmatic in his approach, and we just kind of petered out at the end. And, you know, I'm sure that there are certain sectors of fandom that will raise issues with Daniel Levy and his handling of transfers and, you know, the squad building aspects of it. But Pochettino has had his hand in a lot of the aspects of this club over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And I think for the poor performances and the player unrest to kind of come to rest at his feet, in the end, is ultimately not unfair. I'm with you guys, though. Like, obviously, Pochettino is the best manager that we've had in recent memory, but I'm not as broken up about his going as, you know, certainly you guys are, or as a lot of the fans on Twitter are. I mean, he's gone, and, you know, honestly, we talked about it last night. I don't enjoy watching Spurs right now.
You're right.
Like, it's not been fun. Like, this is like the kind of way I felt about Spurs under, you know, the end of AVB, the Sherwood years. Like, I don't enjoy it. Like, you know, I don't want to watch games that I've recorded, or, you know, I don't want to watch games live at 7:30 in the morning, because I'm just like, ugh, how will we fuck this one up? And, you know,
Jose Mourinho Tottenham is going to be fun to watch.
I mean, yeah, I'm super excited for it. I am way here.
We'll get to that in a second. I mean, I think there, and we're going to talk about this, I think there's a lot of blame to be thrown around in terms of how we got to this point. And I think in a lot of ways you could say, from a bigger perspective, it's sort of indefensible that we got to this point. However, I think this decision, while maybe not the right decision, is certainly defensible. I think this team has been bad enough for long enough, and it's just not working. I mean, we talked about that. We talked about this last night. We talked about it a little. Brian just talked about it a little bit there. There is clearly something wrong, and he has had more than ample opportunity to do something to arrest it. And there's just, you know, how many times this year? I mean, we talked about this last night. How many times this year has there been a turning point? Oh, we had a good performance in the Champions League. Oh, we had a good performance against Crystal Palace. This is going to kickstart us into playing well. Oh, we had an international break. They're going to come back with a fire under their ass. They're going to be ready to kick some ass. Pochettino is going to change something. He's going to mix up the lineup. He's going to do something with the malcontents. He's going to do something with his tactics. I don't know. There's been a lot of inflection points where either it could or should have changed, and it didn't. And I don't know if Mourinho is where I would have gone with that. I think part of the big problem is it's it's mid-season. There's two managers I can think of off the top of my head that are obvious sort of long-term choices, and that's Mourinho and Allegri. I think they have more options in the summer when they could probably pick somebody off another squad, but getting through the rest of the year with a caretaker is going to be pretty rough because I don't think there's an obvious choice for that.
Ryan Mason.
Oh, God. You know, but it's not like Rafa Benitez just sitting there ready to get a job, or, you know, Eddie Howe's going to leave his job without sort of certain assurances past this season. So it's like, well, I don't know. It's an ugly choice. And that's kind of where Ben was last night with, if you're going to have a caretaker manager, why not just make it Pochettino and fire him at the end of the year?
Well, I think the interesting thing is, you know, there's two interesting things. The first thing is that this is when we did this. We didn't do this last Tuesday when the international break had just started and coming off the Sheffield result. We waited until the players were going to be returning to training tomorrow.
I think something happened between now and then. I don't think they went into this international break thinking they were going to fire Pochettino.
Right, and we don't know what yet. I'm sure it'll be whispered about in weeks to come, and there'll probably be a book about it, you know, 4 years from now. But for now, we don't know. And the thing is that I think this is player unrest kind of coming home to roost. Because I think if Daniel Levy probably would have been content to keep Pochettino, you know, on board, and we would have been continuing to play this way, and we would have all, as fans, hated it, if players hadn't done something to either seize some sort of control in the locker room or exert some sort of influence over Daniel Levy in a way that pushed Pochettino towards the exit. And I can't say I blame them.
I mean, here's where I blame them, because, like, okay, yes, you can talk about the fact that the situation now might be untenable between him and the players. And the reality is we've taken 40 points from 90 possible points in this calendar year, 14 from 12 this season. It's not relegation form, but it's down there. Things have been bad, and, like, that's undeniable. But when you're talking about who's to blame and whether firing him was the right decision, you know, I just still can't look past the summer of 2018 when Daniel Levy signed a whopping total of zero players and then went into the January transfer window and somehow replicated that feat. Like, the person in charge of firing this guy is arguably way more to blame for the problems that we're suffering from. You know, last season, the team that got unhappy with Pochettino was unhappy because we weren't good anymore. We were asking a lot of players to do things because the replacements we needed, particularly for Moussa Dembele and the injured Wanyama and Eric Dier, never arrived. And that's not really on Pochettino. That's not his fault.
We didn't buy, name from Leicester? I can't remember his name now. The midfielder from Leicester that we were apparently in, and Pochettino thought he was fat. Like, I mean, that's where it gets hard to sort of split. Like, how much of this is we're being cheap and distracted and not willing to pay people, and how much of this is we're letting the perfect be the enemy of the good? Because I think there's things at play here. Because we were linked with a lot of players who would have at least done a job for us. Maybe aren't as high profile as a guy like Ndombele or with as much potential as Lo Celso, but, you know, could have done something for this team over that stretch of time. And by all accounts, Pochettino is being very picky.
I mean, okay, so you're right that, like, being picky over Tielemans and picking Serge Aurier over Ricardo Pereira the year before are definite failures of Pochettino in the transfer window. That said, in the summer of 2018, we identified Jack Grealish and Tanguy Ndombele as our primary targets. And Daniel Levy pinched pennies over it. He tried to exploit Aston Villa's, you know, shaky ownership situation to get Grealish on the cheap and then fucked it up.
Yep, it's pretty bad. It's one thing to try and use that leverage. It's another thing to not realize, like, okay, time to pay. Like,
right, and it's like, you know what? Yes, you're talking about a championship player, and maybe that's expensive, but, like, he's in the Premier League this year, and he's been great. So, you know, if you're going to cave to Pochettino on a guy like Tielemans, who is more proven, and, you know, you're going to say, well, if Pochettino doesn't want him, we're not going to buy him, then you also have to trust that when he does want somebody like Jack Grealish, that you have to swallow that and say, okay, well, this is the guy he wants, so I'm going to pay for it. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Well, exactly. And it is like, there is a difference between Pochettino being like, 2 years ago, being like, I want Tanguy and Ndombele, when it's like, not going to happen. Like, you know, I believe there are probably some legitimate market factors as to why that didn't happen then. We could have made Grealish happen, and it was obvious to anyone with eyeballs that we could have made Grealish happen, and we didn't. And that's, you know, I don't know if it's because we're being cheap or stupid or both, but you're right.
The knock-on effects have been players are tired, players are out of position and unhappy, tactical tweaks happen to accommodate for these lack of players, which makes players further unhappy, and, you know, it all snowballs from there.
It might be as simple as these guys are getting the first team, they're less tired of Pochettino's shit, and we could, like, at least more gradually cycle these guys out, and we don't need to have a clearance sale like apparently we needed to have this summer.
Right, and, like, again, even going into a situation where guys have 1 year left on their contract, like, that is a thing that Daniel Levy has always managed and made sure that, like, nobody is in that situation. They've all signed deals, and, you know, when these guys didn't, like, you need to get rid of them. You know, and, like, Daniel Levy has been very much a control freak when it comes to our transfer policy. And, you know, and again, I don't want to remove responsibility from Pochettino, who has also been controlling over his role in the transfer strategy. But, like, when you're the chairman of the club, like, it's your job to put a system in place that functions. And if you're going to say, okay, we're not going to have any robust transfer program, we're just going to let Pochettino make the decisions, then you have to be prepared to back those decisions. And if you're not, then you shouldn't be in that situation to begin with. And that's all on Daniel Levy.
Yeah, Pochettino's...
I mean, if he's not prepared to back those decisions, then he's perfectly entitled to fire the manager. Like, I mean...
But he should have fired the manager 2 years ago if he wasn't comfortable with the transfer situation where Pochettino picks the target and Levy buys them. Then this is not a working relationship and he needs to go. Like, you make that choice then, and you retool the club around that decision. You don't let it go for a year where you sign nobody and say, this is fine. Because it's not fine, obviously. And, you know, it undermined the entire program. You know, again, that's Daniel Levy's job.
I don't know. I think, history has shown us that Daniel Levy is very much a business person and not a football person. And that
that's bad business.
Yeah, and then he takes the advice of the football people around him seriously. We talked on the literally last night about, you know, when ABB said he wanted a director of football, he got a director of football. And when Harry Redknapp said he didn't want a director of football, he got rid of the director of football. And then when Pochettino came in and said he wanted Paul Mitchell, we got Paul Mitchell. And then Paul Mitchell was skimming off transfers, allegedly. And we got rid of Paul Mitchell, and then Pochettino said, I want to be in charge of this. And then So like, Daniel Levy is, you know, if he has a fault here, it's that the football people that he listens to are not doing their jobs. And then he as a result, it fails in his specific job. You know, I've always been, like, a big Levy stan, and I guess I still am, but Pochettino has to bear the ultimate responsibility because he's the one who's in charge of the product that's on the field. And he picks the players, he picks the team, he picks the tactics, and literally for an entire calendar year almost, it has not worked. And
right. But again, it hasn't worked because Daniel Levy signs the players that he could pick, and he didn't do that. So
he got the players that he wanted.
Well, I think there's two
new players this summer.
No, I thought we had a good summer. I mean, so there's two factors outside, I don't know what you want to call them, factors that are a little strange to me here. One is the market's clearly weird, and I think this is actually affecting teams beyond Spurs. I think the market is a little strange right now. Certain players are going for a lot of money, like a guy like Van Dijk, which is probably Liverpool just being very smart and targeted. Other players aren't going at all. It is incredibly insane to me that when no team had to do any negotiations with Tottenham Hotspur, and they could have Toby Alderweireld for £25 million, which is a bargain, no one took us up on that offer. And by all accounts, it didn't look like anyone was trying to talk us off of it either. Like, what if we give you 20 for him? Like, the only offer that I'm aware of that came in for Toby was some $15 million offer for Roma, which, if you believe the rumors, they weren't even serious about what kind of wage packet he wanted. So That's one thing that's weird. The other thing I got to say is, like, I always thought, and I think you guys were largely on board with me on this, the reason that we had to sell players, the reason we had to clear guys off the roster was twofold. One, you didn't want useless humps just taking up roster space and salary space on your team. Someone like, you know, Nkudu was for a while. And two, you need to, like, get what money you can for Christian Eriksen so you can, like, make some money on him and keep the party going. Because I always thought the big danger of not selling these guys was we won't be able to keep the lights on because we won't keep getting good players. We can't turn it over because Tottenham's not a Chelsea. They don't just have money to burn. I always thought that was a problem. I got to tell you, I did not, you know, maybe I could foresee guys falling off a cliff a little bit physically, holding onto a guy like Moussa Dembele for a little too long. I did not see everybody become super toxic and learns to hate the manager and turns the locker room into a viper's pit. I didn't really see that one coming, especially after we made a Champions League final. I mean,
I didn't either, but like,
but they should know better. You're right. They should know better. I mean, they're in the club.
Right. The reports that are coming out today is that this has been a problem for some time. Like, you know, we talked yesterday about Kieran Trippier's comments after moving to Atletico. Like, he mentioned that atmosphere. Like, so it wasn't like, while it may have blindsided us as fans, it certainly shouldn't have blindsided the club. Like, it sounds like this is a thing that's been stewing for a hot minute. And again, if you have malcontents, if you have, you know, if Pochettino says we need to refresh the squad, because people are, you know, losing faith, like, you got to listen to that.
I just guess I've never seen a scope of a problem like this before with a guy who is so relatively recently beloved by his squad. Like, it all went south in a hurry.
I mean, but the problem is if, like, refreshing the squad means you have to sell 9 players in a summer and then also bring in 8 new ones, like, that's not a viable solution.
I mean, this is why you buy some guys in 2017 or whatever it was. Like,
yeah, I mean, but it's like, look, if Pochettino was coming into the summer of 2019 and saying, look, I need to get out and turn over this squad in a significant way, and Daniel Levy's like, okay, yeah, we can try to do that, but, you know, the market, I can't control the market. And then, you know, all we get is...
take that in a vacuum, because 2018 also happened, and, like, even before the malcontent situation arose, there were guys, like, we knew we needed to refresh our fullbacks. We knew Danny Rose and Ben Davis was not viable. We knew Kieran Trippier and Serge Aurier were not viable. You know, we knew Toby and Jan were getting older. We knew Wanyama and Dyer had been broken. Like, we knew Moussa Dembele was getting older. We knew all of this had to happen.
But at the same time, we know we need to change our fullbacks. We know we need to change our fullbacks. And then I know injuries sort of moved a lot of this along. But, like, he's willing to play Kyle Walker-Peters at first, and then for reasons that didn't make a whole lot of sense, like, I don't understand how he changed his mind on it, he just decides Kyle Walker-Peters sucks, and he's not going to play him anymore, and that might be the right conclusion, but I don't think we saw the evidence to sort of justify that. And it's just, it's this, like, unhealthy mix of, like, our transfer policy in somehow, some way is fucked up, and then, like, Pochettino's increasing crankiness or inability to manage the squad. I don't know what it is, but these two things operating in concert have created really an epically awful situation that I don't think any of us could have predicted or thought was a possibility.
Yeah, and so I think ultimately at the end of the day, the Daniel Levy and the board are left with a decision that is, do we sell some of our best players because they refuse and will continue to refuse to play for this manager? Do we turn over the squad massively in terms of, you know, a fire sale of sort of like Florida Marlins-esque proportions? Or do we just sack the manager and try to bring in somebody that these guys might play for? And, you know, even if it's a $12.5 million or $17.5 million decision to sack Pochettino, maybe in the long run it ends up working out best for the club.
I mean,
that kills me. Like, if you're prepared to take an 18 million pound hit on the manager, you know, we could have taken an 18 million pound bath on a lot of players this summer in aggregate,
yeah,
and, you know, been in that situation where we don't have to make this choice.
I mean, what bothers me is this, like, I mean, I get where they're coming from in a certain way. Like, if things have gotten this bad and you need to overhaul that squad, like, on the one hand, it's devil you know, devil you don't. On the other hand, you know, do you really, like, if he's really burned all these bridges, is he the guy you want directing, like, a multi, you know, probably hundreds of millions of pounds rebuild? And it's just, I don't think there's a good solution here because there's, I mean, I don't know. Pochettino wasn't, I didn't think he was a great hire when we made him. I mean, in retrospect, it was obviously great, but, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's a guy sitting there where it makes sense to sort of give him the keys to the car. So, you know, now we're working on a retread like Mourinho, and it's just, oh, fuck.
Like, you're asking, is this the guy we want to give the keys to the kingdom to? This is the guy who got us in the Champions League 4 years running and that took us to the Champions League final last. Like, absolutely, you give this guy.
I'm inclined to do it. I also think if the locker room's as bad as we're sort of hearing, like, I can sort of understand why the decision was made. I don't love making this decision and then turning to Jose fucking Mourinho, but. Fuck.
All right, let's talk about Jose.
So, yeah, so by all accounts, we're bringing in Jose. It sounds like he's going to be on the bench for West Ham, which, honestly, I'd be pretty fucking pissed. Because was his first game at United or the new Chelsea? He took some job, and he didn't even, like, he was like, I'm going to watch from the stands, and then I'll pick up managing on Monday. But, I don't know. It looks like he's going to be on the bench for Saturday's game, and fuck. I mean, it's surreal. I can't imagine how surreal it is for you two. You've been watching football longer than me. And
how are you guys not excited about this? I don't understand.
Because we've seen Mourinho's last three jobs.
Like, no, but like the first season or two is always fun. The third one is the bad one. The first couple.
Well, what first season at Man U?
They were all bad at Man United.
They were awful.
I mean, they finished second and won a Europa League and an FA Cup. You know, I mean.
Yeah, but they were awful and joyless and miserable. And, you know, they fluked their way to some trophies.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that United squad, like, it's still, like, basically the same United squad, except they sold some of the actual good players now, and he got him to second. Like, that was a hugely flawed team, and he made, like, that was an amazing managerial accomplishment. Like, he played, like, Scott McTominay and Marouane Fellaini for, like, lots of that season. You know, and his fullbacks were even worse than the ones that we have. So, I mean, imagine what he can do with, like, a refreshed Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son.
Yeah, that's optimistic.
No, I mean, this is, guys, we might enjoy watching Spurs again. It might be so much fun.
I mean, it's something you look forward to, at least. Like, it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same old shit. Like,
I mean, look, think about this. Like, so, my thing is, one, Mourinho's just going to be fun for, like, just the press. Like,
oh,
the,
God.
The antics,
I am not looking forward to any of this.
It's going
to
be great. It's going to be so much
fun.
That
sounds awful.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. No more do I have to listen to Pochettino's bland quotes about, like, being in the moment and, you know, how we have to just care more and all his bullshit media.
So, when you hear quotes from Jose Mourinho about how Danny Rose is a fucking sack of shit and it's all his fault and the team's not good.
Yes, that is what I want to hear.
That is not better.
Yes,
I think Brian has been broken by how bad we've been, and he's looking for any sign of life. He just wants to live again, man.
And it's just so leaving that aside, but like the team, like this could be like a good Mourinho team. Like good Mourinho teams have a really strong physical midfield. And so what does he have? He has Eric Dier that he can play in holding midfield. He has Tanguy and Ndombele. He has Moussa Sissoko, who he can utilize to varying degrees. He has a passer in Harry Winks. He has Lo Celso that he can potentially deploy in midfield. Like, he has the makings of a very strong and dynamic midfield that he would use to exploit teams. And what else does he like to do? He likes to have a very strong attacking front three. Got Harry Kane, got Heung-Min Son, you have Dele Alli, you can use Christian Eriksen, you know, and then, you know, the back four is what it is, but it's better than the United back four that he had, and maybe Alderweireld and Vertonghen play for.
Is it?
Yes, he's not playing Chris Smalling and Phil Jones. It is significantly better.
Give it time.
I mean, you have Victor Lindelof and Eric Bailly and Luke Shaw, like, I don't know that those guys are...
Lindelof literally almost never played for him, and Bailly was healthy for, what, half of a season? And you know, I mean, he never played Shaw because Shaw was fat. So, I mean, you know, I think at least the center backs are a significant upgrade, and he doesn't have to rely on Ashley Young as a fullback. I mean, this is a better squad than any of those United teams that he had. I think this could be. I mean, look, the football won't be like super exciting, but I mean, has anything we've played this year been exciting? Have you either of you been excited by the football in any of the matches that we
I
have
mean,
played?
Like Palace, maybe Red Star.
No, all right. We beat a League One team.
Except we lost the Colchester.
Yeah. So there's been you know, if people are going to complain about the football that Jose Mourinho plays, like, take a look at what we've done all year. Like, there hasn't been no excitement this year. Like, nothing that we have done has been interesting. We haven't been doing interesting things in the press. We haven't been doing interesting things with the ball. You know, and Jose Mourinho teams, you know, they play defensively. They play kind of a mid or a low block, and they counter. And when have Spurs been really fucking good? When we sit back and when we counter and when we unleash Heung-Min Son or Lucas Moura and we, you know, pass quickly and vertically. And that's something that Mourinho teams do. I've been drinking, but I've talked myself into this.
You're drinking a lot. Wow.
I honestly, before anything else, about the tactics and the setup and whatever, look, I just still can't get past how surreal the idea of Jose Mourinho sitting in the Tottenham Hotspur dugout is. Like, Jose is Chelsea's manager, who had a weird detour at Man United, but, like, that is... Like, that's like hiring Arsene Wenger to me. It's like, he was their manager for like 8 years. Like, it is so synonymous to me with that program.
No, it's when Jose Mourinho dies, like, Chelsea's going to be the first line in his obit. Like,
you know, except when he makes Tottenham Hotspur, you know, perennial league and Champions League winners.
Yeah, when we win the treble.
Well, we're definitely winning, like, the FA Cup or the League Cup next year. Like, I mean.
We can win the FA Cup this year, Greg.
It's going to be a real fucking monkey's paw thing when, like, Tottenham finally wins a trophy and it's under Jose fucking Mourinho. Like, no, I was thinking, I read Jonathan Wilson's book about Mourinho and Guardiola, and there's this whole thing in there where he's talking, and it's really about the decline of Mourinho. And it's about United, and it's after they won, like, the Europa League. And he's, like, walking around telling his players to hold three fingers up, because that means they won three trophies this year, which means counting the FA Cup, the Europa League, and the fucking Charity Shield. And I'm just like, is this what I want to fucking follow? Like, part of the reason I hated ABB so much, he was a clown. It was just like, it was embarrassing to watch him go in front of the press. And it's not like Poch didn't, like, embarrass himself in terms of, like, how he spoke to the press sometimes. But at least he fucking delivered on the pitch and he didn't make a regular process out of it. It's like, I just... Not only is Mourinho just like a raging asshole who I have very little interest in watching do his thing every week, but I can't even like cynically enjoy it because I mean, maybe the magic's still there and United was just a uniquely fucked up situation. But it seems like one or two years at Chelsea aside, things just haven't gone well since he went to Real Madrid. I know he won the league at Real, and that's like not something that should be discounted against Guardiola's Barcelona, but like... It's all felt like a big old shit show since he left Inter for the most part. And I'm not looking forward to it, especially when he realizes, like, Tottenham aren't getting major players. We're going to get in the whole, like, Jorge Mendes, like, pyramid Ponzi scheme. It's just, like, recruitment's going to be a fucking train wreck under him.
I mean, he feuded with Woodward. Think what he's going to do with Daniel Levy.
Yeah, so, like...
Just for that alone, this is going to be amazing.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's going to be such a mess. And the fans are going to fucking hate him, and justifiably so. You know, there's times where I think... You know, I always said, when I was a kid, the Orioles hired an ex-bench coach from the Yankees, which is a team in the Orioles division, and a lot of Orioles fans were mad about it. How could you hire someone from the Yankees? Like, I would, in a lot of cases, like, I'll take what I can get as long as they're going to, like, deliver for my team. But, like, Mourinho is a step beyond that. It's just, it's beyond the pale. It's like Ben said. It's this Chelsea's fucking manager here. And the fans are going to fucking hate him, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Even if you think Pochettino deserved to be fired, like, Allegri's out there. We could do a caretaker. We could go get an interesting manager in the summer. I don't fucking know. Like, I'm just not excited for this. I'm not excited for, like, narrative to come home.
Why? Why are you not excited for that?
I don't know. I mean, there don't seem to be any good options. We wait till the summer and we get...
You live for narrative. Like, your entire, like, persona is built around narrative.
No, hating narrative. My entire persona is built around hating narrative.
It's predicated upon the existence of narrative.
Fair enough.
I mean, look, I will say, speaking of narrative, it is a wild choice to hire a guy who lost the dressing room or to fire a guy who lost the dressing room by hiring a guy who is notorious for consistently losing the dressing room.
Hey, we can still hire Carlo, who is in the process of losing a dressing room. So,
well, I mean, it's also wild to fire a guy who people were complaining about his training techniques and his managerial demeanor and replace him with Jose. I mean, everything about this is insane, but it's like the best kind of insane.
I mean, I don't know if you guys are morbidly interested. This has got to be the least leverage Mourinho's had in, like, since he joined Porto. I'm sure the contract we signed to ain't going to be fun, but I hope Spurs are able to build some protection into that, because we are definitely firing him, even if it goes well in, like, 2 or 3 years. Like,
I don't know. Maybe he'll be our Alex Ferguson.
No, he's definitely not going to be our Alex Ferguson.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely not.
He definitively does not have that in him.
He could win the fucking Champions League at Tottenham, and he will still be gone in 5 years. Like, he's...
I mean, I just don't... Like, the wheels fell off at United so quickly. And, like...
It felt like they never got on at United. It never felt like it was working at United.
Like, I mean, like, yes, you can say they finished second that year ahead of us, and, like, but that, you know, to go full Kaylee on you, like, the underlying numbers for that team were very, very bad. David De Gea had, like, an all-time goalkeeper season, you know, and, like, it very quickly evaporated, and it went to shit. And so...
I don't think you need numbers to say that. I think the eye test backs that one up. I mean...
So, like, we're talking about trading a guy who built a program at Spurs that, while it was working, was fun to watch, was regularly qualifying for the Champions League, and, you know, punched above our weight. And you're talking about replacing that with, you know, a Europa League trophy? Like, is that where you want to be?
I mean, but, like, you just said, like, while it was working, and it hasn't been working for a year, so...
I mean, it has. We got to a Champions League final, like, a few months ago. Like, it hasn't not been working for a year.
Yeah, but all that stuff we thought was down to injuries and selling out for the Champions League... Like, clearly wasn't just that. Maybe it exacerbated some problems, but something is rotten in Denmark, and it's hard to replace that. You go back to what we had as recently as a year ago, like one calendar year ago. Like, everything felt really good at Tottenham. Like I was talking earlier, there was a warmth there. There was a connection with the manager. You felt like we were going places. There was a long-term plan in place, and it's just not there anymore. And it's like, in any circumstances, that's going to be really hard to replace. I know I would have preferred us to get Allegri just by virtue of the guy's not a massive shithead. But, you know, it was always going to... Whoever took this job was going to have a lot of work to do. Mourinho is going to have more than most because every Tottenham fan fucking hates that guy.
So let me ask, what is a successful season for Jose Mourinho this year look like to you at this
like,
point?
Like, what is the minimum defined as a success?
Yeah, minimum success, and then I guess what? Best case scenario is... We win the FA Cup and the Champions League?
I would say best case scenario is we win one of those competitions and or, I think, somehow qualify for the Champions League, which would require something borderline miraculous or at least some luck going our way.
All right, let's assume that top four is a pipe dream, and that's just not
I mean,
happening.
Most successful is winning the Champions League. Winning the FA Cup, I think, would go a long way to making the season more palatable. I think a strong finish in the Europa League, like form that would have carried us into a Champions League spot if it had been going on all year. I think that's a successful season, like generally speaking. Like if the results start, if it's just not like it's been, Jesus. If we play well with any kind of consistency, and if that form would have taken us into a Champions League spot, I think that's a successful season for Mourinho.
Okay.
And I don't think that'll change minds. I think the only thing that'll change minds is going to be, well, okay, like if we're playing like scintillating football every week, which I don't think is going to happen, even if we're winning, I think if he wins the Champions League, I think that's the only thing that changes minds. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, so now we're getting into year two. What do we expect Jose is going to deliver us?
Lots of
we're going to win the league.
Do you trust him to do the squad overhaul that we're going to need to do?
No, absolutely not. Because he's going to want to bring in a bunch of 27-year-olds. I mean, you know, could I see him, like, realizing he's got something special with Lo Celso and some of the other guys, yeah, I could. I mean, he could also alienate the shit out of him. I could see him seeing some of the younger talent on our squad and making them work, particularly Dele, actually. I think he is kind of a Mourinho player. But, like, you know, I think it's going to be short-termism. Like, it is every fucking where he goes. And, you know, maybe with the way it's gone, there's a little short-termism isn't the worst thing in the world. But, you know, it can't be everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very anxious about putting our squad rebuild in his hands.
I mean, look at Ndombele and Lo Celso.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So this squad rebuild is in Mourinho's hands, but the last time we should have squad rebuilt it is in Levy's hands. I'm very confused.
Yes, Levy is responsible for making it happen, but Jose will be the one directing those targets.
Especially if he comes here.
I'm much more okay with that based on his track record than I am with Pochettino.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but...
Like, we're going to sign Zlatan in January. You realize that, right?
Yes, and Gareth Bale. It'll be amazing.
I mean...
I don't understand why you guys aren't excited
about it. I do think, like I said, I'm serious about a little bit of short-termism could go a long way for this team. If they sign, like, some guy who's just in his prime and could kick ass for a year or two, that might be kind of what this team needs. At the same time, almost every major signing, like serious money we've spent over the last couple of years has been with an eye towards this guy's going to be good for a while. He's an up-and-comer, like someone like Son, someone like Lo Celso, someone like Ndombele, you know, Dele, obviously, you know.
So you don't think supplementing some of those young guys who are now reaching their peak with a few peak, like, really good players would be a bad idea?
But I just think we need to be wary of paying them stupid wages and preventing ourselves from continuing to get these players. It's I don't know. I just don't trust Mourinho to, like, throw the baby out with the bathwater, I don't trust him to do that. Like,
right. I mean, Jose has notoriously tossed out Lukaku, Mohamed Salah, Kevin De Bruyne, like...
And, you know, it's like one thing if he doesn't give a guy like...
old at United, so...
If he's not giving a guy like Troy Parrott starts, which, like, I would like to see Troy Parrott getting some regular football, but if he's... it's one thing if, like, Mourinho's, like, not giving that guy a fair shake. It's another thing if he's just like, Juan Foyth, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never see Troy Parrott again. We'll never see Kyle Walker-Peters again. If only we'd never see Winks again. But, you know, whatever.
This is what bothers me is I think Mourinho is past it. I think he's tactically behind. I think the game has passed him by. I think he can still do a job in a certain way. But, like, I just don't think he's on the cutting edge of football anymore. I think he's going to get outsmarted. And I don't think he's got enough of what he had. Especially, this is going to be the hardest coaching job he's had in a minute. Because he's not going to have the resources he had at United. I mean, he's not going to have the resources he had at Chelsea or Madrid. I mean, maybe the hardest coaching job he's had since Inter.
I also worry that some of the shine of Mourinho has gone off that will make, you know, the way he manages a lot more difficult than it has when he was at the peak of his power.
You're right, because I don't think teams are going to fear him. Teams aren't going to, like, they're not going to, like, set up to, like, oh, shit, here comes Mourinho. What's he going to do to us? You know, they're going to, like, okay, like, we got to be careful, but let's fucking take it to him. Like, now, you know, they weren't fearing Pochettino anymore either, so we didn't have that going for us, but... You know, I just think Mourinho...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, some of these criticisms you're leveling at Mourinho are the same kind of criticisms that can be leveled at Pochettino.
Like, what we're buying with Mourinho... We're buying, like, part of Mourinho is this Mourinho mystique, which I think got really punctured at, like, you know, over the last couple jobs, but really at United. And I don't think it's there anymore. And if I had any thought that he, like, really sat down and looked at what happened at United and, like, really took some lessons to heart, I would feel a little bit better about it. But I don't know if you guys think he did that. I don't think he did it.
Oh, he's incapable of self-reflection.
Well, that's not good, Brian. That's really bad. Like,
no, it's great because we get the same thing that we got before. It's amazing. Like, you know, like, because there was talk about, like, when he went to United that, you know, this was the job that he'd always really wanted and that we would see a much more humble Mourinho and it wouldn't be the same Mourinho that we saw at Real Madrid and Chelsea and that he would be more relaxed and more appreciative of just being at a club with such big history. And then he was still Jose Mourinho. And so he's going to be just still Jose Mourinho at Tottenham, and it's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun.
But it's like
in a year and a half, play this for me, and I'll be like, oh, this was really tedious. I hated it. But now I'm very excited about it.
I mean, and there's a level at which I don't care about. Like, I don't like it, and I would rather not see it. But if he's going to, like, swing his dick around and get results, like, fine. Like, it is what it is. I would rather not have it at Tottenham, but whatever. If it wasn't Mourinho, if he was a fresh face manager, I'd fucking love it. But it's just, that's not what bothers me. What bothers me, I don't care about seeing a more humble Mourinho, even if I'd like to see it. What I care about is fucking, I think he's going to get out coached. I think he's going to get out managed. I think he's got, doesn't have the ability to recruit players like he used to. I mean, I don't think he's got ability to manage players like he used to. Like, just from a, like, managing the team, not like tactics, but like, you know, keeping everybody happy and onside and motivated.
Right, and let me be clear. Like, my questions about Mourinho are already assuming we fired Pochettino. And now it's the question of, okay, with Pochettino gone, we have the whole universe of football managers potentially available to us this summer and next year. How do we hire appropriately to take us into these next several years?
And that's hard. And so, that's a hard question, but...
Right, and so when we're talking about, like, we have made the decision today that Jose Mourinho is the guy for this job, and this is the guy to take us forward into the future. And so... Yeah, like Pochettino, the shine maybe wore off. Maybe he's not getting buy-in from players. Maybe teams aren't respecting him and fearing him. Like, I don't care. That is no longer important to me. The question is now, we're hiring somebody else. And who is the best man for that job? And is that man Jose Mourinho? Or is it, you know, is it Allegri? Is it finding a caretaker to get us through the season where we can reevaluate in the summer when, you know, managerial merry-go-round will happen? Like, that's what I'm really asking about.
I think
alternatives that we're dealing
and
with.
And again, I was surprised. I thought we would find a caretaker whenever if we were going to fire Poch. I said it last night. I think we'd do what we did with Sherwood. We would find a caretaker, get us through the year, and then we'd make a more informed decision in the summer. Because the way I see it, and I'm sure I'm missing a few people here, but if Tottenham want to hire someone a little more long term, right now, today, this, like, before the year's over, before the summer, there's about three realistic managers on the market that I could see, and that's Mourinho, Marcelino, and Allegri. I think, you know, maybe I'm missing somebody. Maybe you guys can think of someone that I've missed, but those are your options. And I don't know about you guys.
Is Frank DeBoer
out of a job?
Huh? Is Frank DeBoer out of a job?
I don't know, Ben.
Going to keep him?
United.
I didn't know if you guys kept him around or not.
Out of those guys, and again, like, if you guys can come up with anyone else, I'm willing to listen, but of those guys, like, I guess I take Allegri. Allegri's the one that's the most intriguing to me. He really impressed in Italy at multiple positions, which makes me feel pretty good about him. He didn't, like, leave his last job in a total shit show. I would go with Allegri if I had to, like, if Daniel Levy called me up right now, and I don't know if that's the most informed decision, because I don't know what else is out there. They might be able to find somebody, I don't know, go get the manager from Ajax or something in the summer. I don't know. Maybe they can get Nagelsmann next summer.
Or we could wind up with Eddie Howe. So,
you're right.
You know.
Well, let's not do that. I saw some report today that certain people at Spurs like Eddie Howe, and, like, I want to know who these people are so we can get them out of the club. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know, guys. Like, it's a tough situation, and I feel like we're making it tougher by trying to fucking nail it right now as opposed to get someone in who can just do a job and, like, get Big Sam in here, guys. Get Big Sam in here. We'll figure it out this summer. Like,
I mean, here's my issue. Sorry, Brian. It's like where we are in the football pyramid of, you know, elite to relegation fodder, you know, coming off of Pochettino, you know, are we in a position to hire an elite manager, or are we, you know, having to make the best of what we can scrounge up? Because, you know, if we really believe that this club is moved up into a higher echelon of football, and Pochettino has raised the stature of this club, and the stadium has raised the stature of this club, you know, should we be targeting a manager that befits that? Whereas with Mourinho, it very much feels like, I don't want to say AVB 2.0 because Jose obviously has a much stronger pedigree, but we are kind of like taking a shot on a guy who might be better than his recent reputation is, and hoping that, you know, we're finding some inefficiency in the managerial transfer window.
It's the same as AVB. We're hoping the last thing that happened was an anomaly.
Right. But unlike ABB, like, Jose Mourinho has won the Champions League several times and won a lot of league titles. Like, you know, there's a lot more pedigree there. And so I do, you know, I think there is a question. Is the Jose Mourinho hire a testament of us moving up into a new caliber of manager where we're getting elite talent? Or does it represent us finding another thrifty compromise of a guy who might be better than world football sees him? And I happen to think it's the latter, and I feel like now is the maybe the only moment we have where we should be punching for the former and saying, we are an elite-level team. We were just in a Champions League final. We are a regular Champions League qualifier. We have the finances. We should be going for an elite-level manager.
Well, it's a bit of a weird situation because obviously you're limited by who has a good job right now. And, like, if Spurs – I think Spurs' stature has been raised such where if Klopp was floating around like he was a few years ago, I think we could get a guy like that. At the same time, you know, I think really the only kind of manager that's really out of reach for Spurs is, you know, outside of employment, you know, just you're not going to pry certain guys away from certain clubs, is really Guardiola. I think we can nail a lot of other managers if their employment circumstances were open. And I think you might be right, Ben. This might be the one window we have where we can really have, I don't know about our pick of the litter, but we could... You know, we're a really attractive club. We should be able to hire, maybe not elite, but we should be able to hire a Champions League caliber manager. And frankly, we should be able to hire a young, exciting one. And
right. Like, can we hire a Nagelsmann? Like, maybe he's out of pocket because he's already got eyes on Barcelona and Bayern Munich.
Yeah, or Red Bull's just going to give him a shitload of money. But, yeah, can we get the guy from Ajax? I don't know. Like we should be able to get some... We should be able to, like, be pretty ambitious right now. And that's why I was, like, kind of hopeful of let's get somebody in who can do a job till the summer and then we'll fucking hire someone. Because that's when I think, okay, we can lay some track for it during the season. And then, like, okay, if we got to go buy someone out, we can do it then. Because we have the opportunity to go get someone young and exciting. And I know that didn't work out with AVB, but, like, we should be able to do it at a higher tier than that. Someone with at least a little bit more of a track record.
Right. This feels to me like Chelsea hiring Rafa Benitez, where it's like, yep, he was a great manager once. He has done a lot of really good things. He's not a bad manager. He'll get you somewhere, but that's not the level of talent you want to be aiming for.
Yep, and unlike Chelsea, I don't think we're going to part company with him real quickly. Like,
no, because if we're signing Mourinho, this is Mourinho's probably last shot at a really, you know, quote unquote big club. You know, like. If he fails here, like, he's going to Newcastle, you know, like, that's
yeah, or Portugal, or Portugal, lies. Yeah, you're right. The biggest club he's going to after us is Benfica or Porto, like.
Right, unless he's a raving success with us. And
yeah.
So, if I'm Jose and I have this club over a barrel who you know really wants you, like, you got to believe that this contract is not going to be super favorable to us. Jose is going to get.
Well, but that's the thing. We might have Jose over a barrel. Like, this is it, dude. You're not going to have a lot of other opportunities in England. Like, you got to wait for a team to have a crisis like Spurs are having. So maybe it'll be a more forgiving contract than Mourinho would usually give a team like Spurs. I don't know. I think it speaks to that he's coming to Spurs. Both speaks to how Mourinho's fallen and how much Spurs have risen.
Are you guys done whining so we can talk about this team is going to look like under Mourinho? Because that's what I want to talk about.
All right, Brian.
No, I just want to talk about it.
No, talk about it. I'm telling you to talk about it.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know if you guys wanted to keep having the pity party. We can talk about Marcelino. You can tell me all the things you know about Marcelino, Greg.
I know that he had some really good Valencia teams that were fun to watch last year. And the only reason he's out of a job is because the Valencia ownership are fucking crazy people. So,
because they won a cup that they didn't want to win. Which, you know, whatever. So we're all just going to assume we're hiring Jose Mourinho. How do you think we line up regularly under Jose?
I don't have a great answer for that. What you're the Jose fan. You tell me what you think.
Yeah, now that I'm officially a Jose Mourinho fan as of like 2.5 hours ago, I don't know. I think a 4-3-3 probably makes the most sense, especially given kind of how we've played some this season.
you know, you keep the Dele Alli, Heung-min Son, and Harry Kane up top, and then you play with a midfield that is some combination of Ndombele, Lo Celso, and Dyer slash Sissoko slash Winks. And then you just kind of work.
Do you really think Jose Mourinho is going to let Harry Winks get a minute of football? He seems like a guy Jose will hate.
You know, I mean, he played Scott McTominay a lot, and I can't figure out what Scott McTominay does. So
he plays defense, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, so obviously I can see the appeal and the obvious ways that, you know, an Ndombele and a Lo Celso fit into a Jose midfield. And I can see the way that an Eric Dyer or even a Moussa Sissoko would fit in. I think you're right. I think Winks is harder to pin in there, but I think, you know, he's also, I mean, I guess if you think about it, he's kind of like, I mean, Danny Drinkwater. And then did Drinkwater went to Chelsea after Jose was already gone, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah. So I can't think of any, like, real midfield passers other than Pogba that he had at United.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess he did like making Pogba into a defensive midfielder, so that does bode well for Lo Celso and Ndombele playing deep midfield.
Well, and I mean, you know, at least with Ndombele, you know, we know that he plays that deep sort of midfield role, and that or that he certainly won't kind of rebel against those sorts of defensive responsibilities in sort of the way, I guess, that we saw Pogba do during Mourinho's tenure at United. So I think certainly our midfield has a lot more interesting pieces than, you know, Pogba, Herrera, Matic midfield that United ran out.
So what's our back line?
I mean, I just think you have to assume, that, you know, Vertonghen and Alderweireld were, you know, in the poach out brigade, and that they, you know, kind of sacked him off, and that now that somebody else is in, they come back and they play, you know, back in a similar way that they had been the year prior. And then you play with a more defensive fullback in Foyth, and then I guess your left back has to be Danny Rose or Ryan Stepanian, who may never play again because he's a teenager.
This sounds great.
Yeah, I think this will be fun.
How many years did Stepanian spend trying to organize a transfer to Spurs so he could play under Pochettino?
Two, right?
God, it felt like longer than that. Like,
yeah, since he was 12, I think.
Jesus. Oh, we're so fucked.
This is definitely going to be something.
Ugh.
I mean, the reality is like, we were already fucked. Like,
you're right. You're right. It literally, I don't want to say it can't get worse, but it was pretty bad. Like, and I guess that's the thing about Pochettino leaving. Like, we talked about this earlier, but it just, it felt like it was, it might not be now, but it didn't feel like it was going to get any better. And the best case scenario was somehow making it through the year. And we won 3 games so far this year. 3 games. That is not a lot of games. I mean,
right. I've woken up early 12 times this season and watched 3 games that didn't make me completely miserable.
I mean, and it is something. Like, I don't remember. I'm sure I was. I don't remember being this miserable back during ABB. I know at the tail end I almost assuredly was. But it felt like such a concentrated period of time as opposed to, like, this. I mean, where it just keeps going on and on.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. This season we'll probably at least get to watch Spurs probably play better.
You mean when we win it at... It's going to be really weird that the first trophy I see Spurs win is going to be an FA Cup under Jose Mourinho. Like,
I mean, the first trophy I saw Spurs win was a League Cup under Wande Ramos. And
that's
that
still not as weird. Like, I mean, in retrospect, it's weird.
It is. I don't know what to do with this. Jose Mourinho is not a Spurs manager. Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
It really is. I don't think it's quite Arsene Wenger managing Spurs, but it's up there.
I really want to dig up. I'm sure in the, 10 years Jose has managed the Premier League, he has said many terrible things about this club.
You know, my memory of Jose talking about Spurs is very much, like, just really patronizing compliments. So I'll bet they don't read as bad as they felt.
Right. There was a lot of, where Jose would talk shit about anybody he saw as an actual threat and then be very, very gracious to a team like us that he thought was beneath him. But I do wonder about that, like, that last season or two of Jose, where we had that, 5-2 game where Harry Kane whipped ass and Chadley looked good and, I don't know. I thought there's probably some juicy tidbits. Well, from when we beat them in the League Cup final.
It sucks, man. It sucks. You mean when they beat us in the League Cup final?
Well, we also beat them in the League Cup final. Wasn't he still there, or was he gone?
He was gone. I think from back in the day. Okay, sorry. I was...
Yeah, 2007, 2008. Was Jose already gone?
I think he was.
I think that was his last season. I don't know. I don't fucking know. This is a well-researched podcast.
Yeah,
sorry.
Very, very well-researched. God, we're gonna have fucking Jose Mourinho at Spurs. I don't understand how you're excited about this, Brian. I feel like we're a couple years past this being a valid reaction.
Yeah, he was gone by summer 2007.
Yeah, I thought it was Grant by then, so.
Fine. Anyway, it's going to be fucking weird, and that's really all I have left to say about it.
But it'll be interesting, so there's that.
Yes, may you live in interesting times, as the proverb/curse goes.
How long do you think?
I think that's how we do elections in America, so,
Brian, you're the Mourinho stan, so I'll start with you. Yes. How long do you think he lasts at Spurs?
Certainly no longer than 3 seasons.
Counting this season?
I guess this would count. I don't know. Is it a 3 full seasons thing? Is that how his thing works?
I think so.
Yeah.
At least two and a half. The half season's on the end of it, so.
Yeah, I would say no longer than 2022, though.
Jesus. It's so bad. It's so bad, guys.
Yeah, but I mean, look, football is short-termism now. You're right. There are no more Arsene Wengers and Alex Fergusons.
It didn't stop Chelsea from winning shitloads of titles. So, I mean, that was one of the things we always liked about Pochettino. It felt very long-term. It felt like it could be very long-term. And I don't want to say it fell apart at the first bump in the road, but...
We absolutely would have loved. I personally would have loved for Pochettino's shtick to work for 15 years and him to be around and us to win trophies and whatever. But I don't know. Is that just not how modern football works anymore? Is that just not how coaching messages work? I don't know. And so maybe what you need to do is just do whatever you can to maximize a particular cycle that you have. You have a 2 or 3 year cycle. And so for your 2 or 3 year cycle, you just need to find the best coach that will win you trophies and keep you at a certain level. And then when that runs its course, you replace them with another coach that'll get you to that level for a 2 to 3 year cycle. And then just repeat ad nauseum. Maybe that's what modern football is now.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. The idea of Alex Ferguson or Arsene Wenger, sort of imprinting themselves on a club, we just don't see that anywhere else.
We really didn't see that in the Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger area. Those were the two exceptions to the rule, basically.
I mean, I think to my American eyes from watching, baseball and football over here, if that's fine if you're going to have this, but I think... to me, it seems borderline insane that we don't have, a strong director of football or some, GM-type figure to, if we're going to have some short-termism at the managerial spot, at least like a longer-term transfer strategy that can, yes, maybe adjust depending on who's in the managerial seat, but, you know, in terms of like, okay, let's continue to get like good young players that we can maybe develop, you know, someone who is thinking long-term.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you look at like the kind of like long-term managers in the Premier League right now, it's like Klopp and Pochettino.
Anyhow.
At 5 years, you know, it's like you don't see a lot of guys lasting longer than that. So, you know, it's not wrong to say that like a regular managerial turnover is a bad thing. I mean, we talked about this idea with the players that like, you know, after a few seasons, you need to turn the squad over to keep things fresh. You know, if that same principle applies with managers, I don't think that's unreasonable. You know, I think we all wanted Pochettino to be our Alex Ferguson, the guy who's going to shepherd us to success over the next 20 years. But I don't know. Is that how football works?
Well, a lot of that was also we assumed Pochettino was going to continue to be great and not, you know, what we've seen this year.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, besides, you know, Ferguson was great for his entire tenure, basically. But Arsene Wenger certainly wasn't. I mean, he... You know, they gave him plenty of rope, and he just hung himself with it.
Oh, it's just sad. I'm very sad. I mean, I think we'll probably do a Pochettino Memorial podcast at some point.
Yeah, a little too soon.
Yeah, but for now, just sad. Do you guys want to answer a few quick questions? Do you have it in you?
Yeah.
So I think Peter Burks has a very good one for us, which is, which high-profile player will get into a disastrous feud with Mourinho first?
Gotta be Danny. He's too outspoken and not good enough.
I could see Danny starting a feud with Mourinho before. I could see Rose starting a feud with Mourinho before Mourinho even gets here. Like Mourinho might not even have to start that one.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Danny Rose doesn't have to Google Jose Mourinho, so maybe he'll be pleased.
I could also, like, he's good at the dark arts. He's a shithead. Like, I could see it. Like, I could see it happening. Like, I could see them getting along, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know who the other option is, I mean, other than Danny Rose. I mean, is it
Kane?
I guess.
No, I could see him, like, not coddling Kane or going out of his way to, like, shit on Kane.
I don't know. Maybe Winks. I mean, you guys talked about how you don't think Mourinho will like.
Yeah, Winks sucks, and he's a young player. That is what you call a high value target for Jose.
Yeah, he's a real easy target.
Especially if he wants to make examples. Like, I'm not Pochettino, so I am going to take on you fucking shitty academy graduates.
Yeah, it's either that or it's going to be, like, sunny in a way that's, like, just the most devastating thing we've ever seen.
Ugh. I don't know. I think even with Jose, we're going to lose a bunch of good players next year. I think Son's going to be out next summer. I think he's going to want to be. Damn Boxes has, gives us the flip side of this question. Which Spurs player will benefit the most from Mourinho?
Dyer.
I mean, like... Do you mean Dyer's going to, like, get in the team more, or he's going to improve playing?
You know, I don't know. I think...
Either of those is valid, like...
Well, we know Jose wanted Dyer at Manchester United. Like, we know that that was a target. Same with Toby. I think both of those guys are guys that... Mourinho seems to have liked in the past. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he's guys he trusts immediately. Dyer might still be terrible, so maybe that isn't a good answer, but I think he'll get Pochettino's, God damn it, Mourinho's faith pretty quickly. This sucks. I hate this.
I think it's Dele Alli. Dele Alli is like a grade A shithead, so I think he will fit very much into what
Jose would want to do with this team. And I mean, Dele is also probably the Spurs player with, like, the greatest potential. And he hasn't really lived up to that in the past, I don't know, 10, 12 months, if you listen to the media. And I think Jose would probably start deploying him in a way that would allow him to progress his game to the next level.
Ben, you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I already answered, but
It sounded like you were about to say something. That's all.
I agree. Dele's a shithead. And it could be our John Terry if Jose lets him.
Mal asks, over under on July 15th, before Mourinho bitches and complains about Spurs while saying he's so much more successful than us. I think he's definitely going to do it before. Like, he will say that in a press conference. Maybe not dramatically, but it will come out of his mouth in some form or fashion.
Like, mid-January.
And that's the thing. And that is really an important thing that I think, for me, I struggle with. Like, Pochettino seemed to love it here and talked about the club in, like, the way you want a manager to talk about your club. Like, AVB also, like, you know, we as us, like, he was
He was very respectful of the club while he was here. You're absolutely right.
Right. And I don't know that we'll get that from Jose. I think if, you know, if things take a minute to get good, you know, I think we're going to hear a lot of Jose talking shit about, you know, the poor Jose and what he has to deal with this, like, Mickey Mouse club. And
first,
like,
road
I'm
bump.
Not looking forward to that.
First road bump. He's going to do that. You're absolutely right. It'll start with he's so new and there's so many problems and he needs to get his players in here, and then it's going to turn into that. It's going to be very bullshit very quickly. Let's see. Let's. I mean, we've answered. Do we think there's any chance of this working out? Do we think? Connor asks, would any of this have happened if we'd signed Dybala in the summer? I think this happens regardless. The rot is too deep. Even though I do think there was some bad luck that contributed to everything, I think if all of our signings were healthy, that might have worked out a little better. If some of the dumb results we had had not stacked on each other, it might have worked out. But yeah, I don't think anything was changing this unless we just cleared everyone out. Because I think Pochettino doesn't really. I think he's been kind of over it for a while now. I think this was going to happen one way or another.
You know, I'm going to disagree because I think Dybala is the kind of guy who is super exciting, you know, has a kind of, like, star caliber to him that, like, gets other players excited, that, like, it feels like we're, like, being ambitious and making big moves. And he's been fit all season and doing really well at Juventus. And so, you know, having that extra spark in the team, which, you know, I do think we have played better when we've seen Ndombele and Lo Celso on the field, and not because of, like, the positional holes they fill, but, you know, they're out there working hard and being exciting in a way that I think gives everybody else a lift. And, you know, the margins here we're talking are pretty fine, you know.
We're not far away from results-wise from being,
like,
in a top-four race.
Because Dybala hits a screamer and you beat Watford and, you know, suddenly things aren't looking so bad.
All right, you convinced me. And also, that means we can bench Christian Eriksen's lazy ass.
Right. Yeah, I think that could have been the difference. It might not have been, but it could have been.
Brian, do you have any Dybala-related thoughts? I'm just sad that we won't get Dybala anymore, because he's definitely not coming now that the Argentines are gone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any Dybala thoughts. I thought it was a pipe dream anyway.
Willie, one of our many replacement hosts, he has a fucking depressing question. How long until we get the He's Magic You Know song to be sung about Mourinho, which better, I think it would be hard because the cadence would be off, but it better not fucking happen. Like, I would be very mad about that.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it. Just stretch out some syllables. I don't want to fucking ever hear that. Ever. Ever.
Do you guys think Chelsea fans will be upset about him signing for Spurs?
Because the season they're having, they'll think it's funny. They'll think it's funny.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I was hoping that they would annoy them, but you're probably right.
Like, if we get good and, like Frank gets the level we thought he was going to be at, like, then maybe it'll be an annoying thing. But until that happens, no. They are progressing with young players. We are hiring their retreads. Like, this is actually funny to them.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Chelsea fan Graham McAree today, and he thought it was funny. So, I mean, that's very much his personality, but I think that's kind of the attitude that they're going to have, is we're hiring their cast-offs, like AVB all over again.
But worse, somehow. It's
yeah, with all the bright promise and optimism around AVB.
I really wish we didn't do this, guys. I know Brian's excited, but I'm not.
You guys just are enemies of fun.
No, it's Mourinho. It's not going to be fun when we're watching games. Maybe it'll be fun in the fucking like press conference room. But fuck,
it might be fun. You don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be any fun. It could be more fun than what we've watched this year. That doesn't mean it's fun.
I mean, it might not be not fun.
God damn it. What does that even mean? What do you
mean? I don't know.
Man, I don't know. I just wish it didn't end like this. And I'm not... Man, it's just sad. I'm really sad about it. I'm going to miss Pochettino, even as bad as we were this year. I'm going to miss him. It was great having a manager like that, like who was not only like really exciting and really sharp and doing interesting things, but you know, like you said, Ben, he talked about the club the way you want a manager to talk about the club. And I'm going to miss that, because we're definitely not getting that under Mourinho.
Yeah, but maybe we'll get him picking fights with the Arsenal manager.
Well, if we're winning, that'll be fun. But until then, it's just going to feel like thin gruel. So that's my final question. Do you think, because Rob actually asked me this today, couldn't be here with us tonight. But do you think Arsenal maybe getting close to firing a manager played a role in this? Like, either we had a Jones for Mourinho and he was going to go to Arsenal if he didn't come to us, or we just wanted in on the available manager pool before them, and maybe United got in on the act. Obviously, United wouldn't have hired Mourinho, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, so we talked about this last night, right? That the managerial carousel is going to be very, very competitive, especially this summer, but mid-season, you know, you could see Solskjaer and Emery losing their jobs pretty quickly, and suddenly our targets are going to be a lot harder to acquire. Jose was heavily linked with Arsenal as well, so it's not impossible that that was part of the decision-making process, that, like, if Levy had his heart set on Jose Mourinho, he had to act immediately to make that happen. Which sucks. I mean, Arsenal has fucked us once again. Thank you, Arsenal.
Ugh, Jesus. Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me crying constantly at Comrade You Spurs on Twitter.
If you could find a way to blame this on Pete Buttigieg, I would, you know, that would brighten my day a little bit. So if you could do that, or get your wife to do that, you know, I would appreciate it.
I'll do what I can.
Okay, I appreciate it. Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock. And you can find me on Tumblr making really cool Jose Mourinho GIFs, and also like photoshopping him into great moments in Spurs history, at brettrainbow.tumblr.com.
You know, if you would really do that, I would have a lot of respect for your heresy.
I just don't have the time for that. You know how much effort Photoshop is? Like,
you make a lot of money now, Brian. You can pay someone to do this for you.
You know, you're probably right.
Make the gig economy do one thing good. Like one evil thing.
Do you think there's people that would do it, like, just for exposure, because I'm such a cool, like, guy on Twitter? Like, yeah.
Well, this is an SB Nation podcast. do something good with your lives. You know, leave us a 5-star review. You know, we feel pain put pain directly in your ears. So, leave us a 5-star review. Do something nice for that. Feel good about something related to Tottenham Hotspur today. It'll be a nice change of pace. For Ben, for Brian, for Brett Rainbow, and for all my tears, I've been your host, Greg. Come on, you Spurs. Please don't hire Jose Mourinho. Hire anyone else.